Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he scatters. And I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrew.
I am a Hebrew. I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew. I was born in Indiana.
I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood.
I am a Hebrew and I was born in
the Caribbean. 私は Hebrew です。日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea. Nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew. From West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Way.
We are Hebrew.
Over my sister.
Hallelujah. Shalom, shalom, daughters of Zion. Blessings to you all. This is Sister Jennifer. We're tuning in for another episode of Sister to Sister, and we thank you so much for coming along with us. Thank you so much for listening and taking time out of your schedules to just sit and to learn. Again, my name is Sister Jennifer. I am your host tonight, and I have a special co-host with me, Mother Carol, at Straightway Tennessee. I pray that I've given you all enough time to give an adequate sound check. Mother, if you could please speak some words for us so we can see if we can hear you clearly or we need to make some adjustments.
Shalom, shalom, daughters of Zion. It is a pleasure and an honor to be here to speak with you today, assisting my precious sister Jennifer here. I count it a privilege, and I'm thankful, and I hope that you all hear and receive all of the words today with gladness and understanding.
Hallelujah. We hear Mother very clear. Thank you so much for that sound check, and I see tens in the chat room, so that's a good sign. We're going to go ahead and We're going to move forward. We're going to give acknowledgments first. Mother, if you could please go ahead and give your acknowledgments first.
Of course, first and foremost, to the Most High Yah, who is the maker and creator of all things, who makes all of this possible, I give all praise to him, and I thank him for the opportunity to be able to come and speak to the Daughters of Zion and just assist. I'm thankful for, and I give all glory and respect and honor to his servant, the man of Yah, Pastor Dow. Blessed man of Yah, I am blessed and honored to be serving under him and to be learning from him every day. I get so much knowledge and things from him. And to all the elders and the mothers and the teachers and just all the pastors' wives, everyone, all the elders' wives, to all of them, and just blessings to you. I know that it's not always easy doing what you have to do, but stay strong and stand firm. And to you and Sister Ashley, Sister Jennifer, for always doing this show week after week, I'm very thankful. And bless you, Mother Bullock.
Hallelujah. It is an honor for me to be able to be here and to just be called upon to be able to do the show. And I know Sister Ashley feels the same way. So I just want to acknowledge the Most High, first and foremost, for his faithfulness and for revealing himself to us more and more through his word, through the preaching. You know, we received a lot of love this week, starting this past Shabbat and again on third day during scripture study. And his mercy truly does endure forever. I want to acknowledge my head, my master, Elder Rufus, for his example in truly being sold out to the Father, and as a result, being able to lead his family in righteousness. And finally, I want to acknowledge our shepherd, Pastor Dow, for his labor for the people of Yah, for making true men in this ministry, and as a result of that, producing true, holy daughters of Zion. So that's all I have on my end for acknowledgments. Mother, you want to make an announcement to us. So why don't you go ahead and do that now?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Sister Jennifer. Pastor has instructed me that because there is so much confusion and questioning about people getting diagnosed here from people doing various things, myself included, with muscle testing or any reflexology or anything like that. He says because there has been so much confusion and we're getting people even coming up to people telling them what they have or things like that, that can be a stumbling block to a lot that don't understand. So if anyone comes up to you poking and prodding on you, no, Pastor, he's cutting it off. He said you go outside the gate if you're going to do that, so don't even ask when you come. So we're going to let righteousness prevail in this, and we're going to be obedient because it's the man of Yah's mandate, because we have not been able to do it correctly, and it's been a stumbling block to some. So no more testing and or going up to people and if this is wrong with you or any of that, none of it. Pastor's cutting it all off, okay?
Hallelujah. You know, it really is just more of a reason to learn your body, to learn your heart, to engage in spiritual warfare, and to really fight the demons that are within you. So just another way that you can really engage in the battle and to just really get yourself free. So thank you so much for that announcement and that information for us, and we will move forward. Tonight, we're going to talk about words and speech and communication. We're going to go into talking about sarcasm, the way that we relate to one another. And, you know, we learned that we have life and death in our tongues. And as women, a lot of times we can speak from emotion, you know, showing that we lack greatly in wisdom. And we fail to consider that our speech could actually hinder another sister. And we fail to consider that we're accountable to Yah when we use our words and the things that we act out in our lives. You know, we learned this week from Pastor Dial about our conversation, which is our lifestyle. The way that we relate to one another, you know, is truly an indicator of our confession or our denial of him. So we're going to speak tonight on how we relate to one another, the use of our words, how we communicate, and the types of speech that we use. So, Mother, before we go on, can you tell us why is this topic important for us regarding communication and speech in our words?
Thank you, Sister Jennifer. I think we take our words so lightly, and like it's always said, you can let feathers go off the top of a hill in the wind, and you can't retrieve those, and those are the same with our words. And it's so important because Yah is going to judge the thought and the intent of our heart behind those words. So whether we think we're doing something innocently or whatever, we're going to be judged for the thought and the intent. And that's why it's so important for this topic tonight.
Okay, very good. You know, it really is about the intent. And as I was looking into or looking behind these words, preparing for the broadcast, what really came to me was the intent of the heart, the motive and the intent of the heart. And a lot of times we don't even question the intent of our heart. So let's talk about sarcasm first. Mother, can you give us a definition of sarcasm, please?
Yes, ma'am, absolutely. But before I say this, Jennifer, I want to say that this is going to hit all of us. We're all guilty of some of these things that we're going to talk about tonight in some form or fashion. So don't look to your left or to your right or to anyone else. Just try to search yourself and see where you've been guilty in some of these areas, okay? Sarcasm, the use of irony to mock or convey contempt words with scornful meaning, sharp, bitter, cutting expression or remark. I can read that again if you'd like.
Yes, ma'am. Please do read it again. Everyone, please listen. Make sure that you have something to write with. This information is very important, and we don't want to just breeze by like it's just, not even needed. This is really needed for us. Make sure you write this information down. Please, Mother, go ahead.
Okay. It's the use of irony to mock or convey contempt words with scornful meaning, sharp, bitter, cutting expression or remark. And to those that may not truly understand what that is, most of us do and have done it and do it and still do it. But if you think, okay, let's give an example real fast and then I'll turn it back over to you, Sister Jennifer. Let's say a sister does something good and gets praise and you don't like it. You'll say, oh, well, she's the princess. She does everything perfect. That's sarcasm. That's saying something in a mocking way instead of being encouraging to that person. So, Sister Jennifer?
Yes, ma'am. And, you know, most of the time, sarcasm is not innocent. Like she said, it is a way to convey your displeasure, your bitterness, to try to cut someone else, to mock someone else. So sarcasm is not an innocent thing, and it really is a lazy form of communication. You know, it seems like it's an easy way and a less awkward way to hide behind humor when you feel threatened or you feel embarrassed or you feel unacknowledged. But dealing in sarcasm is just a temporary I guess you could call it a temporary fix, but it's not a fix at all. You know, it really is a way that brings a heavy strain on a relationship. And confronting troubles in sarcasm is just a passive-aggressive way to address your own sins and even the sins of others. And we are concrete people, you know, and that being said, we have to not waste our words. And we have to really make sure that we use our words to serve the purpose of representing the Most High Yah. Sarcasm, it can be dangerous. You know, regularly using sarcasm as a weapon or a shield so that you don't get hurt is just a way of building a wall. You know, if I am always dealing with someone in sarcasm, but I'm lacking in words of edification and uplifting and building someone up in love, then my sarcastic personality is not humorous. It, at that point, it really is just hurtful. And sarcasm really is a way of exuding a spirit of hate, but you do it in a lighthearted way, you know, and the heart knows its own bitterness. Sarcasm often, you think it gives you a license to be hateful towards someone and they not really know what you're doing. So I, you know, you can look inside your own heart and determine when you're honoring Yah with your sense of humor and when you're grieving his name. So when your sarcasm condemns or judges or shames or it, you know, gives a false image of Yah, it really is sins against him. And it's not only against your sister, but it's actually a sin against him. So we really want, we should desire to grow in holiness and to be known by our love instead of our sarcasm. You know, and humor is a part of who God made me to be. But it really is my job to be able to submit my humor to him. So I have to be able to edify him through my humor. And sarcasm, you know, always dealing in sarcasm is not the way to do that. Mother, did you have anything you want to add before I go on with sarcasm?
Yes, ma'am. You can always tell the difference of the atmosphere if it's done to scorn or to be to shame or to belittle someone, or than it just being, you know, something, if the atmosphere is like a pleasant, joyful atmosphere or something like that. So you can tell the difference. We're not saying that you can't ever use sarcasm, it's evil and it's not of Yah. We're not saying that. We're just saying be wise in your dealings in it, and you know the bitterness in your heart when it comes to scorn or to mock or to convey contempt to someone. So thank you.
Yes, ma'am. And, you know, ask yourself, you know, is there an ounce of truth behind my sarcasm? You know, you could maybe be working with a sister in the kitchen and you could come in and she has all the cabinet doors open, and that's a pet peeve of yours. You know, and you could just kind of laugh and in a joking way. So you think you could say, oh, I see you decided to leave all the cabinet doors open today. What a wise decision. You know, and that is sarcasm, and that's just a passive aggressive way to show your bitterness, your displeasure, you know, like here she's doing this again. So ask yourself, is there even an ounce of truth behind my sarcasm? Ask yourself, would Yah be more glorified by my silence than my humor? So if it's, you know, you're trying to lighten up a way to not communicate concretely, ask the Father, okay, is this a way that I'm going to try to hurt my sister, and should I just be quiet? Am I going to glorify you more by being quiet until I get my heart together, or should I just go ahead and say what I want to say? You know, will the words of edification bring more joy to my sister than the words of sarcasm? So should I edify, or should I say this in a sarcastic way? So, you know, we should always keep our humor funny, and we should keep our sin mournful. So when we're joking at sin, it's just not the proper way to even handle it at all. Mother, will you add to that, please?
Yes, ma'am. We are a concrete people, and what we want to convey today is of Yah judging the thought and the intent of the heart of what you say, and us saying things in a concrete form. You don't have to be ugly to go in there. Instead of using the sarcasm, you could say, sister, you know, this is kind of dangerous to leave all the cabinet doors open. You may want to close them, or if you need, I can close them all for you if you're too busy. You know, something like, just be concrete. Just state what it is that needs to be stated. You understand what I mean, without the attitude and the sarcasm and the smart mouth, because, you know, we have a tendency to be that way as well. Especially if you've had a bad day or something's gone wrong, or you may have gotten in trouble. Your husband may have hollered and screamed at you because of something that you've done. Of those things, we need to make sure that we don't harbor all of those things and take that out on our sisters through sarcasm.
Yes, ma'am. And, you know, sarcasm really can interfere with being authentic with someone. You know, we're really working hard as sisters to love one another. And the things that we say sarcastically are often things that we feel like we're unable to say seriously, but we still feel it. And so true love, it can be hard to find because of this, because of the sarcasm. It can often be a challenge to sort out, you know, truth from lies when a sarcastic person speaks. So you don't want to be that type of person. The people that make sarcastic comments sometimes are unsure of the truth themselves. And so you don't want to lead someone into questioning, you know, the love that you have for them. So sometimes buried in sarcastic comments might be a small nugget of truth. And again, people say what they feel sarcastically, so they can't be held responsible for their true feelings. So sarcasm actually hides love. It hides you under like a mask of hypocrisy, and it hinders communication and it hinders love. It could also, you know, make a sister, say you got a sister that's new in the faith, and if she sees you dealing with another sister all the time in sarcasm, if she truly does have a question, you know, it may take her a while to actually come and ask you, because she may have this picture painted in her head that you're going to be harsh. You know, she may not want to come to you because she thinks that you're harsh. So, you know, if you have no one coming to you asking questions or, you know, whatever it may be, they may think that you're unapproachable because of your sarcasm. Mother, will you add to that, please?
Absolutely. I don't think I can add anything to that. That was perfect.
Okay. Hallelujah. Now, there are instances where Yah used sarcasm.
Absolutely.
We're not saying that all sarcasm is sin. It's not. You know, there are times when we have people that are in authority who teach or preach with sarcasm, but it's only to convey a point. It's only to get us to really see the wickedness in our hearts, to really see ourselves for who we really are. But these people that are over us, you know, our pastors, our elders, they are mature. They are mature in Yah, and they are mature in the Word, and they know the heart of Yah. And so, you know, when we look at Job, you know, in the book of Job, when Yah finally spoke at the end of Job, he did use sarcasm. And he really showed the attitude of the hearts of man, and really put it put us in our places. And I say us because, you know, he really was talking to us when you look at what Yah had to say. And so, you know, Yah said that they were darkened. They darkened counsel by using words without knowledge. So it was loose communication that they used, you know. And Yah said to Job, you said, you know, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth?
Absolutely.
And Yah knew where Job was, you know. He said, has thou commanded the morning since thy days and caused the day spring to know its place? Where is the way where light dwelleth? And as for darkness, where is the place thereof? Yah knew all these answers, and he knew that Job did not know the answers, but he used it so that we could see the wickedness and the evil that's in our own hearts. Mother?
Yes, absolutely. When he had to speak with Job in that manner, it was to instruct and to let Job see himself. Sarcasm in that manner would not be considered something that was bad or wrong, but we're just talking mostly about the use and the way that we use sarcasm. But even Yeshua would be considered sarcastic in some of his instances in dealing with the scribes and the Pharisees. If you look at Matthew 23, about around chapter 13, he called them hypocrites. Woe unto you, hypocrites, because you did so-and-so, or woe unto you, you devour widows' houses, all of these things. And at the end, he even called them serpents and vipers. So he had to go through all these instances and these circumstances because the hearts of the scribes and Pharisees was so hard. And the main reason why he had to come that way was because of the thought and the intent of their heart, because he knew it. He knew it. He could perceive it. He knew exactly the intent of why they would ask him the question. So he'd ask them a question back. That would be considered sarcasm. That would be considered that to the utmost form. So, you know, Yeshua had to come down hard on them because of the hardness of their heart, because of the intent to trap him at his words. So, you know, in that instance, we want to convey that he was being concrete even in his sarcasm.
Yes, ma'am. He was being concrete in his sarcasm, and the motive of his heart was actually pure.
Yes.
If you look at, you know, Elijah used sarcasm to mock the prophets of Baal. You know, when challenging them to call down fire in 1 Kings, you know, he said, you know, either your God is talking or pursuing, or he's on a journey, or just sleep, you know, and that was sarcasm to show that these gods had no power over our Elohim at all. And his sarcasm was used to mock the false gods and to actually uplift and to show the power of the Most High Yah. Mother, did you want to add anything to that?
No, that is exactly right. Absolutely. Go ahead, sister.
Okay. And then I just want to give one final example of, you know, when Cain was speaking with Yah, and, you know, the Most High asked him where his brother was, and Cain's response was, "Am I my brother's keeper?" You know, and
right.
That is a poor negative response, and that really is, it really ties into complaining. You know, you're complaining to the one that is in authority over you and is really a form of back talk. So you're back talking to one that is in authority over you, and it really, that is an unacceptable form of sarcasm, and the motive of the heart was actually wicked in that case. So that's all I have on sarcasm, Mother. But we see that sarcasm actually does tie into complaining, because you're wanting to show your displeasure. You want to voice your displeasure. And so, you know, this is where the murmuring and the complaining comes in. So, Mother, can you just talk to us a little bit about complaining as it relates to our words and our speech?
Absolutely. This is another area that we allow ourselves to get lax in. Let me ask you a question, Daughters of Zion. Is the atmosphere more pleasant until you get there? Are your words so piercing that no one wants to be around that atmosphere or that conversation? Ask yourself. You know, sometimes our murmuring and our complaining can be so vexing to those that may already have an upright spirit, or those that may already be battling within that spirit within themselves. Would you have been chosen? Let me ask you this. Would you have been chosen one of the eight to go up on the ark? You know, we're in those same times as the days of Noah, the days of Lot, all these things. And I think we don't relate it. We have so many more conveniences than they do, but yet and still, we have nothing to murmur and complain about, but yet and still, it's done. We do it. We're in the green, and we still do it, and all of us are guilty of it. Only eight were chosen, and Pastor, he quotes us all the time, you know. Well, he mentioned it the other night, I believe, at Scripture Study, or either at Shabbat service, that, you know, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything. Nine times out of ten, we do have good things to say, but sometimes our displeasure is conveyed from our hearts in how we communicate certain things, even simple things. If you were on the ark, would you have complained every step of the way? How long were we going to be here on this ark? I'm tired of eating the same old stuff. It's too dark on this ark. I can't see anything. These animals stink. My stomach's upset. I mean, really, ask yourself, would that have been your conversation on the ark when you were one of the few that were spared from the destruction? And Pastor quoted something this Shabbat that really just rang, and I had to jot it down because it tied so much into what we were going to talk about today, Sister Jennifer. He said, the Father listens to all of our murmuring. So when we think he's not hearing, hears every single one. in Proverbs 12 and 18, there is that speaketh like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. And I thought about that. Wow, our tongues are like the piercing of a sword. So it can be so sharp, so cunning, so sly. Just like Pastor spoke about, it may have been scripture study. He was speaking about the serpent and the slyness of the tongue. It's just, it all just ties in together. But there is a difference, though, between having a real attitude or telling someone's off or just flat out concrete. There's a difference. There's a certain spirit that comes about if you're speaking your mind or things like that. But there is a, you can feel the difference when someone is just coming to concrete or if that they're invoking attitude with it. You can feel the difference. We are concrete people and we should speak concretely, especially with truth and honesty, and that should be easily understood. So if you're not getting that from a conversation, even though it may sound concrete, you may be dealing with something other. You may be dealing with the attitude, the mood of that person or things like that, and we need to actually be very discerning. It doesn't give us the right to speak our minds or tell, I'm going to tell this person off, or to tell things that are not necessary. Concrete means to speak those things that are upright, honest, and that are necessary. And let our yea be yea and our nay be nay. There's certain things that, you know, can be said, and there's certain things that maybe just should not be said. Are they profitable? Are they going to correct or edify or just anything? We need to correct when correction is needed. We need to instruct when instruction is needed. But we're not all pastors and elders and authority, but we are mothers and sisters and daughters, and we need to come to each other in that vein with truth and honesty and not in complaining and not in murmuring. If we could come to one another as sisters and be concrete and be honest and upright and our spirits not invoked through our feelings and our emotions, I think our conversation would be a lot more... it would be a lot more received, I can tell you that. You have to ask yourself, what is your personal intent? You may be able to hide your intent from the person that you're speaking to, but you cannot hide it from Yah. You know, sometimes Sister Jennifer will say it's righteous indignation, and that's the reason why I'm saying what I'm saying. Or some will use, well, it was a slip with the tongue, but not from the heart. Well, did you think about it before you said it? You know, did you mull it over in your mind? Is this right? Is this righteous? Is this godly? Even if it is correction or reproof or rebuke, did you mull it over to see, okay, is this coming from the intent of my heart, out of my anger, out of my bitterness, or is it concrete? You know, we have to ask those things. Women, you deal with your husbands. Sarcasm, hypocrisy, you deal with your husbands in a non-concrete form. When men are pretty much concrete, they say what needs to be said, they do what needs to be done, and they go on, and they don't have the feelings and emotions tied into it. But we invoke our spirit and our feelings and our emotions, and that's why a lot of times sisters have a hard time going to each other, because the moods and the attitudes and the feelings and all of this stuff is invoked in your speech instead of just being flat out honest, upright, true, and concrete. Go ahead, Sister Jennifer. I'll stop for a minute.
You know, I just wanted to add, you were talking about, you know, how the Father hears every murmur, every complaint. And a lot of times when our complaining or our displeasure truly reveals the attitude of our hearts and we're confronted, you know, we try to turn it into a joke. And, you know, the word says, as a madman who casteth firebrands, arrows, and death, so is the man that deceiveth his neighbor and saith, am I not in sport? So, you know, you try to turn it into, oh, I was just playing. I was just joking. But really, the attitude of your heart has been revealed, and then you try to backpedal with the, I was just playing. Or I've even heard, did I just say that? You know, like you'll say something that is really sarcastic or something that is just plain wicked. And when you don't get the response that you're looking for, you don't get the buy-in from someone else, did I just say that? You know, and not really trying to search your heart, but just, you know, trying to put it out there that, oh, wow, that I guess that was bad because nobody laughed. So like Mother said, it really is about the attitude of our hearts. And like she said, everyone is not in authority. Everyone is not a pastor. Everyone is not an elder. Everyone is not a teacher. Everyone doesn't know how to, with a pure heart, handle sarcasm or handle righteous correction to bring about a change, to actually get people to see the motive and the intent of their hearts. Go ahead, Mother.
Yes, ma'am. You know, once we put those words out in the atmosphere, like you were talking about, Sister Jennifer, they're there, and you can't take it back. And a lot of times we don't even repent for it. You know, the word says to do good to all men, especially they of the household of faith. But one thing that I have noticed is we'll speak very patient with the heathen, and then when it comes to our brothers and sisters, we fly off the handle and we're impatient, and, you know, our heart is invoked and things like that. But, you know, the word says, by your words you are justified and by your words you are condemned. Well, how are we condemned? We're condemned because it's determined by our intent of the heart. So, you know, words have so much power behind them. Yah framed this world by words. He spoke it into existence. We became followers of the faith by words. We had to hear a man of Yah. We could read the scriptures all day long, but you had to hear something, whether in your spirit or from his servant. But those words helped you become a believer in Yah. Deliverance comes by words. We speak words to cast out the demons. So deliverance, healing comes by words. Words are so powerful that they can heal and help and humble and encourage. They can correct, but also they can hurt and harm and humiliate us and damage and set course of nature. And we'll talk about that in just a minute, setting course of nature by our words, Sister Jennifer. But I wanted to go over James 3 and 6 really fast. And I have the Hallelujah scriptures here, if you don't mind me reading it.
Yes, ma'am, absolutely. Please do.
I like the wording, how they worded this. And the tongue is a fire, the world of unrighteousness. Like a forest among our members, the tongue is placed, the one defiling the entire body and lighting on fire the course of generations, rolling from the beginning and in the end is lit on fire itself. And I thought about that, and lighting on fire the course of generations. The course of generations. So that leads me to something else, unless you wanted to stay where we are.
No, ma'am, please do. I think we're ready for that part.
Okay. The course of generations. I, you know, in thinking about this, and I've, you know, just been mulling over a lot of things that we speak, even within myself. There's so many things that have been spoken to us, or that we have spoken to someone, that still lodge in our memory. They come up in your spirit at certain times. It sets on course nature. You set spirits in motion by your words. We can bless and we can curse. You can curse yourself, you can curse others. And I was thinking about a few things, and just how we curse ourselves. I'm never going to get this right. Well, you won't, because you're cursing yourself. I can't do it. It's always been this way. It always happens to me. You know, we think about, you know, we know not to say things like, well, we've been taught by his servant, the man of Yah, to not say things like, oh, my head is killing me, if you have a headache. Well, then it will kill you. You know, we don't say those things. Or my leg is hurting so bad it feels like it's going to fall off. We already know not to say those things detrimental to the body, but our spirit, we still say the things like, it always happens to me. I'm never going to get this. You know, I forget everything. I forgot. You understand what I mean? Oh, I always forget everything. That's one I used to be guilty of. Oh, I forget everything. Well, I had to stop speaking that upon myself because I noticed when I stopped speaking that, my memory started to get better. I stopped forgetting things so often, and I was able to recall things a lot faster without even having to write them down. So it just shows you how we can speak so many cursings and negativity upon our own self that we end up with our own self detrimented. Sister Jennifer?
Yes, ma'am. You know, it's very good that you're talking about the curse of the generations. You know, you could be living the result or the consequence of something that you've spoken years ago. You've asked for forgiveness, you've been forgiven, but there still may be a consequence to be carried out. And you've got some spiritual work to do to really make sure that that curse is broken off of the generations that are coming behind you. And Pastor challenges us mothers a lot. And, you know, he says, you know, y'all don't love your children. And when you think about it, when we speak things that will affect our children for years to come, that will affect their children, and we don't think about the weight of our words, we don't think about the things that they will suffer because of the things that we speak just so loosely without even thinking about it, you know, we really do have to question our not only our love for our children, but our love for the Most High Yah as well. Mother?
Absolutely. A lot of times our children are the result of things that we have spoken over them. If they're successful and do good, you can tell that, you know, it's been something spoken. But a lot of times we lodge things in our mind and in our memory or from hurts or things that we've gone through, and then things are spoken over children. If you go back in your memory, whether something was said to you or whether you've said something to someone else, because we're very quick to remember things that have been spoken to us, but we very rarely repent for the things that we've spoken to others and damaged others. So I do want to put that out there. But in thinking about this teaching we were going to do, I remembered an account that I'm going to share with you all. It's humorous to me now, but at the time, you know, now I can look back on it and say, wow, those words did, they had power. I remember being in junior high school. My family hadn't too long since come back from Germany. And I was in junior high, probably the eighth grade, skinny as a rail, looked like a broomstick. And I know some of you that are older like me from back in the day, you know, now clothing sizes are like 0, 2, 4, 6, 8, like that. Back then, it was 0, 1, 3, 5, 7, 9. I don't know if you remember that, Jennifer. But
yes,
so,
ma'am,
and
I remember that.
So things have changed a little bit. So I remember, you know, being in junior high school, and I was probably about 5'7" at the time, maybe wearing about a size 5, which was, like I said, I was a beanpole. My sister, who is 4 years older than me after the flesh, she was probably a 3. And, you know, I liked to wear different stuff so I would look stylish. And plus, my sister was a senior in high school, so of course she had the cool stuff. So I would ask her, can I borrow this or borrow that? And she said, no, you're too fat for my clothes. So instead of me receiving it, maybe she just doesn't want me stretching hers out because we're one size different. Now, we're both beanpoles now, but she was just more of a beanpole than I was in junior high school. Well, I was in junior high, she was in high school. But I remember lodging that, and I still can remember it to this day, even though to me now it's funny and it's humorous, and it doesn't affect me like that. But then, a 13, 14-year-old child, however you are in the eighth grade, I remember doing, that's when aerobics was big, and I remember doing the 20-minute workout over and over. I would do it like 4 times at night, at around 10 or 11 o'clock at night before I would go to bed, because my sister said I was too fat for her clothes. So I'm just giving you an example about something that lodged and it caused a reaction. Even though that it wasn't concrete, it wasn't proof, it was her, you know, something she had said, I guess, in her opinion or whatever. But she could have just said, you know, I don't want you to stretch my clothes out, you know, Carol, so no. And you understand what I'm saying, Sister Jennifer? It's we can set in motion activities, and that went on for probably until I got up into high school, at least my freshman year, from the eighth grade to the ninth grade. So it's so easy for us to make statements and set courts in motion. Now, some things you say, and in fact, this is a quote that Pastor said. He said, no matter how strong you are not equipped to hear everything. So sometimes you're that stumbling block, and you don't know that that person is not strong enough and not equipped to hear that when you speak. And we're all guilty of this probably in some form of another, but, you know, you have to make sure that you're not a stumbling block, not only physically, but spiritually. How you speak, how you present, how you carry yourself, the thought and the intent of how you're coming. If good words cause the bones to be fat, then what causes trouble in the body? Bad words. Bad words. Bad words will affect your body. They will affect your spirit, affect your mood, all these things. You know, that serpent, he's sly, he's cunning, he's slivering with the words, and it's malicious mouths is what Pastor used at scripture study. He said sly, cunning, slivering. So instead of us trying to seek a meek and quiet spirit and use our words to correct, esteem, edify, exhort, whatever we need to do. We're not saying that we can't speak to each other frank and honest. We call it concrete. But we do need to be careful about what we're putting out there, how we're presenting things to certain people, because sometimes they are not strong enough. And they may never let you know it, but it's lodged in their mind and in their memory. And Satan brings it back up at just the right opportune time. When they're weak, when they're in a weak state, he'll bring that exact thing up to bind you, something that someone has said. And then they go off and they're all tormented. And you never repent for that. You never repent for being that stumbling block to someone by your rash conversation. Sister Jennifer?
Yes, ma'am. You know, Daughters of Zion, there's a lot of information that's been put out tonight so far. And this really is a good time to just really search your heart and to ask the Father to bring to your remembrance things that have been said, things that have been spoken to someone else that could have presented a stumbling block for that person. And go to that person and you know, tell them, you know, I was wrong when I said this. Repentance only comes when you go and you truly ask for forgiveness, and then you put it in your heart to change your ways and to turn from that way. So you're going and you're asking for forgiveness, but the repentance comes by the fruit that you actually show. And the example that you gave, Mother, was a really good example. There was an account that I know of in Deliverance where there was an obese woman. You know, and I think it's good that we're talking about weight, because, you know, the devil really, really tries to trip us up a lot with our weight. And, you know, we can use a lot of vain words because we're not satisfied with our weight or our image. But there was an obese woman that was actually seeking deliverance. And she had a spirit of anorexia. Now, this spirit was in an obese woman. And you're wondering, how did the anorexic spirit get inside of this obese woman? Well, the obese woman was observing another woman getting deliverance, and this woman was getting delivered from a spirit of anorexia. So the obese woman said, I wouldn't mind having anorexia, because she's only looking at her image, and she's only looking at the fact that she is not pleased with her image. And she spoke those words so loosely that that spirit took it as an opportunity to enter into her. And so
Absolutely.
We don't understand the weight of our words, and the spirits are really just waiting to enter in, waiting on the words to be spoken, so that you know, that they can do what they want to do. They're, when they are cast out, they're looking for a place to go. And so we have to really watch our words. We have to be sober with our words. Mother?
Absolutely. Very good example. That's, you know, the spirits don't care what size you are, what you, they are looking for entrance. And she's just like we spoke about the curses, that you can speak over your own self. She literally spoke that demon, and she just opened the door and spoke that demon right into herself. So like Sister Jennifer said, we have to be very, very discerning of what we're saying about our own selves, to our own selves. Speak life. If there's something that you think you can't do or that you're not, speak life that, yes, I can accomplish this. I am going to be this, or I can do this. You know, use the word, I can do all things through Yah who strengthens me. Now, you may not be able to run a 500-mile marathon in a day. You know, speak reasonable. You know, it's not going to come that way. You know, Yah is not mocked. But what we're trying to really establish is that you really have to not even be a stumbling block to your own self. Sister Jennifer?
Yes, ma'am. Very true words. We've given a lot of information. Let's give the Daughters of Zion a chance to kind of catch up a little bit on their notes, and we'll go to a break, and I'm going to give you all the number so you can call in. We still have more information to share, but I'll give you the number, and you can go ahead and call in if you have a question. It's 515-602-9654, 515-602-9654. We're going to go ahead and take a short break, and we will be right back.
It is good to give thanks unto Yahweh and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. It is good to give thanks unto Yahweh and to sing praises unto thy name, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Upon an initial mist of ten strings, upon a psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, O Yah, hast made me glad through thy works. I will triumph in thy hand. It is good to give thanks unto Yahweh and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. It's good to give thanks unto Yahweh and to sing praises unto thy name. Those that planted in the house of Yah shall flourish in the courts of Yah. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that Yah is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. It is good to give thanks unto Yahweh and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. It is good to give thanks unto Yahweh and to sing praises unto thy name. Some are praise to sing with our voice and string. Some are praise
Yahweh,
some are praise
Yahweh,
some are
praise Yahweh,
praise him. He is the Elohim of the Israelites. He is Yahweh, our sovereign king. It is good to give thanks unto Yahweh and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, O Most High,
Hallelujah. We have shared a lot of information so far. We still have some information to share with you all as well. Mother, did you want to add anything before we go on to, you know, we're going to talk a little bit later on about women as correctors and rebukers. Did you want to add anything before we go on to that part?
No, we can go on to that, Sister Jennifer, and then I want to actually give some things that we can do to help, some solutions. Pastor always teaches that if we're going to put something out there, be sure that we have a solution or what we can do to try to correct a certain behavior. So go ahead, Sister Jennifer.
Yes, ma'am. You know, there are women who are in positions, leadership positions, or, you know, if you are just a sister who loves another sister, you may have to bring correction. And, you know, it really is about the attitude of the heart, the motive in your heart. Is your motive truly to love this sister, or is it to belittle this sister? And that's what it boils down to. You know, this whole broadcast tonight boils down to the motive of your heart. Is it really to edify Yah, or is it to just belittle or tear someone down? And learning to correct or reprove to uphold, you know, Yah's standard of righteousness in any situation, and not inserting or, you know, bringing your own personal emotions and so it really takes maturity, and your focus has to be on the Most High and not on yourself. many of you have read Judas. If you haven't, it's a great account to go read. You know, read Judas and look at the words that she spoke on behalf of the Most High. You know, they're not based on her own personal feelings. The words that she spoke was to uphold the righteous standard of Yah. And she was speaking to some really important people. You know, she was speaking to the people that were actually in charge. You know, as the word says that they came to her. I'm going to read just a little bit. And she said, "Hear me now, O ye governors of the inhabitants of Bethulia, for your words that ye have spoken before the people this day are not right. Touching this oath which ye made and pronounced between Yah and you, and have promised to deliver the city to our enemies, unless within these days Yah would turn to help you. And now, who are ye that have tempted Yah this day and stand instead of Yah among the children of men?" And so, you know, she's really conveying the heart of the Most High Yah. But if you also look at the life of Judith, the life that she lived, she dedicated her life to prayer and to fasting. And we don't have, you know, Judas walking around like we had in that book, you know, in the Apocrypha. So her motive was really right toward the Most High. Also, if you have a husband that is in authority, a husband can send a rebuke to another sister through his wife. So there have been times when I have been given instruction from my husband to bring correction or rebuke to a sister, and they don't even know who it's coming from. You know, they may think that it's coming from me, and, you know, even pastor says this a lot. They don't know where it's coming from, and it's really coming from him. It's coming from the husband. And so you really have to be very wise and discerning. You have to truly be humble when you are corrected, especially by someone that is in authority over you, an elder's wife, a pastor's wife, whomever it may be, or even a sister that is coming to you in love, and she truly is loving you and, you know, not coming to you in, you know, suggestive terms, but coming to you with true love and concrete speech and correcting, you know, something that she sees that is actually wicked. So you really have to make sure that you are humble in receiving that. Mother?
Absolutely. That's a very good point you brought out, Sister Jennifer, about sometimes the men of Yah sending you, like you said, especially pastors' wives and elders' wives, you don't know where it's coming from. So if you're not receiving it from your sister, actually it's coming from Yah, because it's coming from one of his servants. And you are actually being a respecter of persons, because if an elder came to you and not his wife, then a lot of times you're more apt to receive it. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And with all humility, but because it comes from someone else or someone younger even, it can come from a young daughter of Zion that is just walking upright in holiness. I'm going to use Sister Erica as an example. She's a very young daughter of Zion, but however, she is an elder's wife. If you're not going to receive from from Erica because she is early 20s and you are 50, 60, but you're doing something absolutely wrong, you are a respecter of persons. So not only in honor of Yah because she is saying something to you that's right, but just showing her the respect and honor for the position. She didn't ask for that position, but she is there, and Yah knew she would be the right person for that position even before the foundation. So you have to be very careful on your lack of receiving.
Yes, ma'am. Very, very good point. Okay, Mother, let's give some solutions. Please give us, we have a lot of information, a lot of things that we have to consider. And like you said, that, you know, Pastor teaches us to not only bring what the problems are, but actually bring solutions. So let's do that now, if we can.
Absolutely. First I had, you need to really think before you utter idle words. You know, a lot of times we just let stuff slip out of our mouth without any thought. And the part that is without thought usually is the heart's intent or something like that. Pray and ask the Father to help you if you are too overbearing in your speech, if you are rude or obnoxious. Ask the Father to help you. Also, if you are too fearful to go to your sister or to go to someone in love, you need to ask for help in either one of those areas. And pay attention if people, if your conversation, your lifestyle, the way that you're speaking to someone, pay attention if people leave the area, because that should be a check within your spirit. I'm saying something wrong. It's me. Do you understand? Also, you need to allow your own spirit to correct you so that you don't have to go back and say, I shouldn't have said that, whether it be to someone else or to yourself. Think before you speak, like I said, and then you won't have to have those regrets on what you have said. Don't be afraid to apologize. Apologizing never hurt anyone. Actually, what it actually does is it can bring two sisters to a much closer level of friendship and love just by simply apologizing from the heart. Practice listening. Most of the time we're always having to have something to say, but practice listening. You can learn so much by just not saying anything and just listening to hear what those have to say. Examine your motives. See, why did I say that? Or why am I thinking that? Or why am I uttering those words? Or why am I talking about this particular conversation? Examine your motives and your intent, because if you don't, it'll follow you to the kingdom, and Yah will. He will examine them, and he will judge them accordingly. I wanted to end with a couple of scriptures on that note, if you don't mind, Sister Jennifer.
Yes, ma'am. Please do.
Let's go to Sirach, or Ecclesiasticus 14, the first verse. It said, "Blessed is the man that hath not slipped with his mouth and is not pricked with the multitude of sins." And then I also had James 3 and 2, and I am going to read it out of the Hallelujah Scriptures. "For we all stumble in much. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the entire body." So think about those things, daughters of Zion, Sister Jennifer.
Hallelujah. One more thing I wanted to add. Those are very good points. To actually lead you to repentance. I wanted to add, you know, sometimes when you're dealing in sarcasm a lot, you need to really check yourself and make sure that you're not dealing with fear. You know, check and make sure that you're not trying to hide fear. Sometimes you can use sarcasm or humor to soften the blow because you're fearful of communicating in a concrete way. And another scripture that I wanted to share was, you know, to Psalm 141, verse 3, "Set a watch, O Yah, before my mouth, and keep the door of my lips." And, you know, this is one that I meditate on a whole lot. Set a watch, oh, yeah, before my mouth. Please, Father, keep my lips. And you really have to get it into your heart so that you don't speak out of turn. And you have to really govern the thoughts that are in your heart, the things that are in your mind. Because if it's in your heart, eventually it's going to come out of your mouth. So you really have to check it. Even if you're not speaking it, if you hear it in your mind, if you know it's in your heart, you have to check it. And also, Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, search me, Yah, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So hopefully we've given y'all some really good information on, you know, just what sarcasm is, you know, a woman's role in rebuke, how we should be communicating, what our speech should be like, what our words should be like, and even how to go forward from here. Mother, did you want to add anything before we close out?
One more thing, Sister Jennifer. You had a very good point on sometimes when you use over sarcasm and things like that, that it's from fear. It also, a lot of times, it can be from a spirit of rejection or a spirit of insecurity as to why you have to always constantly do that. A lot of times it's a belittling of others. It's because of an insecurity within your own self. So that's something else you may want to look into your spirit and see if you have some of these things. We're always here for deliverance, to help one another, to be able to, you know, but you first have to recognize these things within yourself. So not only fear, but also rejection and insecurities can also be another reason why some speech is the way that it is, using the sarcasm or the hypocrisy or something like that.
Yes, ma'am. Really good information, especially as we are, you know, into spiritual warfare right now, and we're receiving just a lot of information about really getting ourselves in order, getting our homes in order, and us taking our rightful place as women where we belong. You know, looking into fear, rejection, insecurity, belittling, you know, is this something that I need to deal with? Is this where the sarcasm comes from? Because everything has a root. So we have no phone calls in the queue, Mother. Are you ready to end, or did you want to add anything else?
Pastor gave us such a good teaching on Shabbat. It was so edifying. It was so uplifting for us as women. And I pray that you didn't take it, Daughters of Zion, as a bash session to women. It is only to make us stronger. It was such an encouragement to push us to where we need to be, because we are the loving, the nurturing part of humanity. So I pray that you didn't receive it in a negative way. It was so warm and uplifting. It was just a good bash session that we needed, and we loved every minute of it, those of us who are striving for righteousness. So Sister Jennifer, if you want to go to a ministry break, if we don't have any other calls, we can end the show after that.
Yes, ma'am. And, you know, Mother, you brought up a really good point about the word that we received on Shabbat. And, you know, if you did hear it as a bash session, if you heard it in a negative way, what you really need to ask yourself is why. Why did I hear it that way? Because there was so much love that came out of that message. So you need to ask yourself, why did I hear it differently than the way that I needed to? So that's just, you know, one way to really you know, to really seek the Father and ask, you know, why did I hear it this way, Father? Why am I not hearing the love in this? Because it could really be accusing Yah of not being loving. And he really is. He's a very loving Yah, which is why we got the word that we got. So we'll go to a ministry break, and then we do have a call in the queue, and we'll give others time to call in as well. So we'll take a short ministry break, and we will be right back.
Name of Jesus, we receive the Spirit. praise.
We went
in the name of
Jesus. We went
over fear and depression.
We went
in the name of
Jesus.
Over anxiety and rejection.
We went
in the name of
Jesus.
Bitterness, unforgiveness. In the name of
Jesus.
Over jealousy and envy. In the name of
Jesus.
Over gossip and that fighting. In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. What a nice reminder to know that we win. We have a caller in the queue, and we're going to go ahead and take that call. Area code 615. 615, you are live on the air. How can we help you?
Shalom, Sister Jennifer and Mother Carol. This is Sister Brielle.
Shalom, daughter.
How you doing, Sister Brielle? Bless you.
I'm doing good. Just listening in, and I did have some, just two things I wanted to mention to see if you both or one of you could elaborate on or just give us Daughters of Zion some wisdom.
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Bless you both. My question or topic that I just want to hear you speak on is, since we're talking about, you talked about sarcasm and you talked about rebuke from our sisters, could you speak on, even if you have like a scenario or something, as in a way that we could be operating in an unrighteous truth, as far as, for an example, would be if you have like you have a rebuke or correction towards a sister and you use something that is truthful, but the way that you are going about it is unrighteously, so it can bring about, confusion, or It's just like your own opinion or your own intent can be unrighteous, but you use the truth to kind of support the way that you are. And another thing I was thinking about is, like, when it comes to, like, us guarding our hearts and things like that, how, yeah, that's the truth, but we can go about it unrighteously by withholding love or having a respectful person or by being bitter or anything like that. I was just wondering if you could speak on that, and then I had one other thing.
Well, sister, if you're going to a sister or correcting a sister and you're having to use all these other means, sister, that's not being concrete. Just go to the sister and be concrete. That's what we're always taught here by the men of Yah, to be a concrete people. Don't beat around the bush. Don't use all these other means and avenues of going to someone. A lot of times it's in fear. As Sister Jennifer spoke about, you're fearful of going to someone because you're fearing the response that you're going to get instead of stepping out on the water. You know, in Ezekiel, it says, you know, if you warn the wicked, you save yourself, you spare your soul. So stop the fear and just go to the person in love. If it's received, it's received. If it's not received, a lot of times the saints are righteous. They'll probably go back and maybe mull it over and see if those things are so. You know, and that's another point, Sister Brielle. Just because something is said, it may not necessarily be accurate, so someone may not give you an answer at that time. It may be something that they need to go and mull over. It may be something that they need to think about or see if they were actually doing that or guilty of whatever you're bringing to them. But just be concrete, daughter, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
And you had something else, Sister Brielle?
Yes, ma'am, I do. The other thing that I wanted to hear you speak on was how Pastor recently spoke on us polluting the land, and how we, you even mentioned it tonight, about how we can offend a sister or something like that, and we go back and say, oh, I apologize, I'm sorry, or you repent for it, but how you still leave your sister in a funk to deal with whatever venom you put out or, you know, whatever sin that you have polluted the land with. Could you speak on ways that we can just be our sister's keeper, especially since we're talking about sarcasm, you know, how you can cause a sister to feel rejected just by your words and things like that. I know that we're responsible for our own souls and, you know, the offenses on them, but could you speak on just how to be a better keeper of your sister with your words?
I'll go first, Sister Jennifer. If we learn to be strong, if we are strong in our hearing and our receiving, and then also we are strong in keeping our mouth, then we won't have the offense. If it's already done, sister, you repent, you go to them, but like you said, you've already left that funk there, and it's there, and hopefully that person is strong enough to be able to come out of it and recuperate and heal from it. But you do have to do the proper steps. You go to them and repent, and then you go to the Father and ask for forgiveness from him and if he would heal them in that area.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. And mother, can I just add too, you know, a lot of times you have to give your sister time. You know, she may need time to get with the Father, and mother brought up a really good point. How many times do we go to the Father and ask him to heal the heart of the one that we have offended? You know, or even if we have spoken to someone else, you know, about, you know, that sister. How many times do we go to the other person that we've involved, the one who didn't need to be involved at all? How many times do we go back and tell them that we were wrong? You know, I was wrong for saying this. I was wrong for doing this. My heart was so wicked. Please forgive me. But we never really approach the Father in humility and ask him to heal that breach. And we don't even see the effect that we've caused with the breach. So Mother brought up a very good point. And, you know, Sister Brielle, the I just wanted to say, too, with the correction question that you asked, you know, a lot of times you know that you're wrong if you're just completely ruled by emotion. So if you're correcting someone and you are ruled by emotion, then you know you're correcting in the wrong spirit. You're going to feel bad afterwards. You'll feel condemned afterwards. But if it's right, and like Mother said, if you are really concretely communicating and correcting, it's going to be righteous. And you're not going to feel bad at all about it because you know that you've obeyed the Most High. But if you're obeying what the Hasatan is telling you to do, there's going to be condemnation with that.
Absolutely.
Yes, ma'am.
Did you have
Hallelujah.
Anything else?
Thank you for your time. No, no, ma'am. That was very edifying. I just wanted to hear you both speak on some things that I thought about previously and during the broadcast. Bless you both.
Bless you.
Shalom.
Shalom. All right, we don't have any more callers in the queue. Mother, in light of the, you know, the questions that she asked, and, you know, you gave really good sound information, is there anything else you want to add that, you know, the daughters might be thinking or may want to know that that we need to put out there before we go?
You know, I've heard pastors say so many times, Sister Jennifer, that, you know, people will come to him and they'll repent or tell him that they've repented to a certain person for a certain situation. And a lot of times it's in the case of the viper. But how often does that viper go around and repent to everyone that they spent venom on? Because a lot of times those souls, those stumbling blocks that you laid out, you never go back and try to make right everything that you did. You just go to the one. But all the conversation and all of the slander that you've done to, like, let's say 4 or 5 different people that you spit your venom on, you never go to them and repent. And a lot of times that's your block to the Father to receive spiritual gifts, to receive healing. So we need to think about these things. A lot of times your mouth has gotten you in so much trouble that you haven't followed the proper steps of going to everyone that you've put poison into and trying to help relieve some of that. So I've enjoyed the broadcast very much, Sister Jennifer, and I thank you for all your input. It was very enlightening to me.
Yes, ma'am. It was my pleasure being here. And, you know, I just wanted to say that, you know, when you are that bitter, Mother brought up the, you know, about the viper. When you are that bitter, a lot of times you don't even remember who you've talked to and who you've spread your venom to. And it really is going to take a lot of getting with the Father to bring back to your memory who you talked with and what you said, because a lot of people don't even remember. If you are in that state of a, you know, a sad state of bitterness, you're not going to remember. If you're that angry and, you know, you're ruled by your emotions in that way, you don't even remember. So it is worth really, truly getting with the Father and seeking him and asking him to bring back to your mind, who did I speak with, Father, and what did I say to this person? And you know, what are the ways that I've caused the breach in this person's heart so that you can go back and truly get it right? And a lot of times we say that we repented to this person, but all you've done is you've asked for forgiveness. And the repentance comes by the fruit that you actually show. So,
yes.
You know, we kind of use that word loosely. You know, I went to him and I repented. No, you went to him and you asked for forgiveness. But you need to actually show forth the fruit. And it's on you to show forth the fruit. And you have to actually back off and give that person time to get with the Father,
yes,
while you sincerely pray that the Father would truly prepare their heart. So I hope you daughters have enjoyed this tonight. Mother, did you want to add anything? Oh, we got a couple more phone calls.
All right.
Okay, we got area code 470. Area code 470, you are live on the air.
Hi. Shalom, Mother. Shalom, Sister Jennifer. This is Sister Therna from Kansas City.
Shalom, Sister Therna. Bless you. How
Shalom.
Can we help you?
I just wanted to say shalom and bless you both and to thank you both for the broadcast.
and the encouragements and the admonishments, the rebukes, and overall the enlightenment for us sisters. And also send my peace out to both of you and to your households.
Thank you very much.
Hallelujah.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much for calling in. Thank you very much for your support and your listening and your receiving.
Yes, ma'am. Bless you both.
Bless you. Shalom.
See you.
Shalom. All right, we got one more caller in the queue. It's an unavailable call, so I'm not sure who this is. Shalom, shalom. You are live on the air with Sister to Sister. How can we help you?
Shalom. This is Sister Capricia.
Shalom, daughter. Bless you. How you doing, Sister Capricia?
I was about to bless you both. Oh, I'm doing well. How are you?
We're doing well. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I just want to thank you both and bless both your households for this wonderful teaching, this wonderful, wonderful message. But I have a question.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
So when we asked the Father to bring back, you know, the things that we said, would that be we were in the world too?
Mother?
Daughter, you've already repented for things that you've done before conversion. You were without knowledge of Yah at that time. So you were wiped clean from that. But if something does come to your remembrance of something done when you were younger and childhood in the world, you can repent for that if something specific is brought to you. But remember, when you came before Yah and you repented of everything you could think of and everything you could remember to become a believer of him, you were wiped clean, daughter. So be at peace.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Bless you.
Bless you.
Bless you. Shalom. All right, we're going to go on to area code 917, New York. Sister Esther, 917, you are live on the air. Sister Esther, are you there?
Yes, ma'am, I'm here.
I'm getting feedback in the background, Sister Esther. Can you turn down your computer and listen through the phone, please?
No, ma'am, I'm driving, so I don't know why. I don't have the computer. Can you hear me now?
Yes, ma'am. It's better. Yes, ma'am. Oh, wait. No, ma'am. I'm sorry. I still have the feedback. I'm still getting feedback on my end. I'm getting a really bad echo.
Let me try another way. Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes, ma'am. I hear you now. Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Oh, bless you. Shalom, Mother Carol. Shalom, Sister Jennifer.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Thank you so much for this blog talk. Oh, man, I just wanted to say thank you and really call out and reach out and say that I'm here, I'm listening, and this was so edifying to the body. Because literally yesterday I reached out to my sister and I spoke to Sister Ashley, and literally everything you're talking about today was just that confirmation that I need to get my heart right, because the Father is really dealing with me when it comes to loving, and I know that for me to be able to love my sisters, like, I really need to be able to watch what I say, my in thoughts. So I'm just so thankful that the Father hasn't forgotten about me, and you guys are just using you guys as a vessel to really teach me and rebuke me as well. So thank you so much for that. Hallelujah. Bless you all.
Hallelujah.
Bless you. Shalom.
Shalom.
You know, before I take the next call, I wanted to say that, you know, looking over this information on sarcasm, I was so aware of the times when I use sarcasm from my own mouth, or, you know, my speech is loose, or, you know, words that I say that are just not even necessary. And so it really is something when you're preparing for a broadcast, you have to make sure that you're open as well to be corrected. So we're going to area code 404. Area code 404, you're live on the air.
Bless your mother. Bless you, Sister Jennifer.
Bless you.
Shalom. Bless you.
Shalom.
How can we help you?
Yes, ma'am. I was calling because we were speaking about sarcasm, and we got the negative examples of sarcasm. I have two things. I was wondering what would be some positive examples of sarcasm or some sort of satire in that regard.
Well, the examples that we talked about, you talked about Yah, how Yah uses sarcasm when he dealt with Job, and he said, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth?" So it's really when it's to show someone the attitude or the wickedness that's in their heart to get them to truly see themselves. When we talked about Elijah and how he mocked the prophets of Baal, and he said, "Oh, your God must be sleeping," and he knew that the false gods had no power at all over our Elohim. So it's really when it's to edify and glorify Yah, then those are the positive examples of sarcasm.
Absolutely. And Sister Jennifer, also, when you judge the thought and the intent of your heart in what you're saying in it as well.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
Yes, ma'am.
Does that answer your question, Sister Sakina?
Yes. How did you know it was me?
I can tell your voice.
Yes, ma'am. What was it? Sarcasm is another thing I needed to talk about. It's very important. Not rebuke. It was the... something about repentance. Yes, okay. What happens when you have a situation? Okay. What happens when we're supposed to repent and go, we're supposed to seek forgiveness and show forth fruit, which is repentance, of a behavior? What do you do? Or how do you handle a situation that you know was wrong and you don't really know how to tell the person or how to come at that person, not out of fear of what they would say or not out of fear of, of how they may take it, but you don't really know how to speak in that regard. And I know you guys were saying to pray and ask the Father to put a guard over your mouth and in a way, that way you don't say the wrong thing. But like you all were saying, it's like a scar there. Like it's a wound because it's difficult. It's difficult to even approach that person because they've left a wound and they don't know. So I was wondering, how do you go about presenting that to the person?
Sister, I would say just be upfront and honest. If you know you've left a wound in someone and you need to repent to them, you can always pray and ask the Father how to lead and guide and direct you into how to approach them. But if you have not repented and you need to go through the steps of repentance, you say, I know that I have wounded or I have done this. I ask your forgiveness and you let them know, I want you to judge me according to my fruit. We expect for people to just turn over and, okay, well, we'll be friends or whatever. It's not like that. A lot of times it takes people time to heal. So once you have confessed and you have recognized and acknowledged to them that, yes, I know I left this wound here in you, then you give them time to heal. You give them time to see your fruit in so they can see where you've grown, because true repentance is turning. It means you've turned from that wicked way and you can see the difference afterwards over a period of time, not just a day, not just 2 days, over a period of consistent behavior. So after that person sees that consistent behavior, that wound can be healed.
Awesome. Yes, ma'am. Well, thank you guys very much. You answered my question.
So, well, hallelujah.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Bless you, Sister Sakina.
Bless you. Shalom.
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 You know, if I could just say, you know, we have been given pastors and elders and men that are wise, who are in authority over us. And, you know, as women, sometimes we just don't understand that it's not my job as a woman to go around trying to, you know, have everybody see what's in their heart. I need to be focused on my own. You know, it's not my job to go around and say, you know, I think this sister is dealing with this in her heart and you're always acting like this. And, you know, that's not my job. My job is to work on the attitude of my own heart. And, you know, in relationships, as we love one another, as we love ourselves, things will come up that we have to talk out, that we have to confront, and Yah can work through that. But it's not my job to go around with an accusing finger. That's not what correction looks like at all. So, you know, Yah has given us wise pastors, wise leaders, and we just really need to understand and know our place as women as well. Mother?
Absolutely, Jennifer. Very good point. And also, they have more foresight than we have anyway. The man of Yah is going to see further than we're going to be able to see, because that's how Yah designed it. The husbands are going to see further than you're going to see as a wife. That's how Yah designed it. So if we, you know, are upright and just and stay in the place and in the position and in the role that Yah has placed us in, we could keep ourselves in a meek state, in a state of peace, and in a state of contentment as to who we are. Sister Jennifer?
Hallelujah. That's all I have, Mother. I just want to share one more scripture from Ephesians. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. That's all I have, Daughters of Zion. Mother, did you want to add anything as we end the show?
We can end the show, sister. Just remember that Yah judges the thought and the intent of the heart. Bless you, daughters.
Hallelujah.